Our scripture this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Last week you heard from Cheryl Brown, who graciously agreed to speak to you so that I could go visit my sister in Colorado for a week. Cheryl, thank you so much for bringing God's word to this place last week. Prior to my time away, we were in the midst of a four-week sermon series that I'm calling Back to Basics. The premise is pretty simple, as the title might suggest. We have complicated our faith and our faith journey and our theology and our understanding of Christianity so much at times that we've made it harder on ourselves and on others than I think is necessary. In our first week, we remembered that we have our primary identity source in Jesus Christ and the work and the philosophy of Jesus Christ. The second week, we talked about trusting God, trusting that God can use us in all our glory, with all our messiness, with all our bumps and our bruises and our worries and our warts. We talked about not being disqualified from the work of God simply because of who we are. So we've talked about who we are, and we've talked about what we are. Let's dive in a little bit into how we are to be disciples of Jesus Christ today. Our scripture passage today is one that is very, very familiar to most Christians, and I dare say to a large portion of non-Christians. Non-Christians, a large percentage of non-Christians have at least a base level knowledge of the passage that was read today by Mitch. I have a confession to make to all of you. I'm a part of the problem with Christianity today. I am a part of the problem. I am. It's true. I am a seminary-trained, ordained clergy person in the United Methodist Church. I am the result of the professionalization of church today, church ministry today. Where somewhere in history, before my time, thank goodness, because I don't have to take all of the blame, but somewhere in history, we mistook the concept of Christian leadership as being reserved for just the professionals. Christianity, sadly, did not escape the bureaucracy of society that exists in the rest of our lives. No, I'm not saying that professional ministry is a bad thing. There is a great gift in the ability to devote oneself to the work and the ministry of the church. I love what I do every single day. I get to equip the saints. I get to equip you. I get to equip the saints for ministry. However, we've somehow misinterpreted the role of professional ministers. We've largely decided that we can just pay people to, quote, just do it, as Nike would say. Whitney is amazing at what she does, absolutely. As someone who spent a decade in youth ministry, I am inspired by Whitney's work. Given that I have very little music talent, aside from being able to sing a little bit here and a little bit there, I appreciate the people who help lead us in music each week. Christine, thank you so much for your gift. So please do not hear me saying that we don't need passionate leaders. We absolutely need passionate leaders. We absolutely do. However, the lay people in the church around the world are often not exercising and living into the God-given calling that they are born with. The vast majority of lay people, i.e. not the professionals, aren't truly living to their full faith in Christ. One note, this can probably also be said of many professionals, and certainly myself included at times. So please do not hear me passing the buck entirely or calling the kettle black when I am the pot. Please do not hear me saying that. My point is simply this, that the church is in decline because those who are in it aren't spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. When we are baptized into Jesus's work, we are children of God. When Jesus told his first disciples that they were to be fishers of people or fishers of men, in the original language, that was essentially a name that was given to them, not just a thing that they were to do. In short, evangelism isn't just something we do, it is who we are. It is every bit of who we are. You are called to be faith sharers. No, I'm not talking about going around and knocking on strangers' doors or handing out tracts to random people on the streets. God has called you. If you're hearing this, God has called you to be a faith sharer. How you live your life and how you engage the relationships with those around you is your evangelism. Sharing your faith with others should become as natural as eating and breathing are to you. Why is it important, you might be asking? Because studies show that the more ingrained you become in church, the fewer relationships most of us have outside of the church. When you come to church for the very first time, you're likely just checking it out. Then, slowly you get involved in a ministry area or a study group. Then, next thing you know it, you're looking around and you realize the majority of people that you associate with are from your church, especially if you do not count the place where you work. That isn't coincidence, beloved church. We humans tend to gravitate toward that which feeds our soul most. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. However, the people who are newest to the church are the ones who have the greatest number of relationships outside of the church. It's really hard to pump the water from a well that hasn't been primed and ready. The same thing happens in a church that isn't actively seeking new people. Sure, at first it's going to seem clumsy and unnatural to tell others about your faith. But the more you ask, or the more you work at it, the easier it gets. Practice makes perfect. The more you are working at telling others about your faith, and the more the more that you're telling others about faith, the more that others are going to come to their own faith. No, not everyone will listen to you and follow every single time. But some will. And God says that one person is worth it. The question then is this: how? Quite simply, peer to peer. Peer-to-peer networking is an incredible tool when it was used well,
When I was first starting college 20 years ago, music sharing was a huge thing. We can get into the discussion of the legality of file sharing at another time, and we can talk about the reasons most of my friends and myself probably had serious viruses on our computers another time. What I'm most interested in today is the intention behind sharing music. I'd find a particular album that I loved, and then I could then network with other people by sharing that on my computer's hard drive with my friends, and often with strangers who had similar interests. They, in turn, would share their music with me, and I would discover entire genres of music that I had never heard of before. My entire dorm at Cortland College, Go Red Dragons, would share the CDs we had, and kids in the room listening. CDs were this weird, shiny, frisbee-looking thing that had a hole in the center. It looked a little bit like a record, if your parents or your grandparents still have a record player. These things that we had years ago when I was growing up that would play music before the internet took over music. We went to an actual store that would sell us compact discs, or CDs as they were called, that would then put in, then we could then put into this machine called a CD player, a compact disc player. Miles, are you listening to me? I'm telling you a very important thing about a compact disc player. This thing that existed forever ago, and it's long gone. It's a thing of the past that probably has packed landfills to this day that we will have for generations, unfortunately. Anyway, we could share our music with one another back then and increase our personal libraries by passing around our music. Peer to peer, neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, the music spread down the halls of my entire dorm in my college. Fast forward to today, there are social media groups and special interest groups that you can be a part of and meet up with that share your same interests. I'm talking, I'm part of a few theology groups and a group that shares an area, shares ideas and techniques around the art of stained glass work. That's my personal thing, stained glass work. You can go online right now, right this very second, after my sermon, and find a group of people right here in the Jordan Valley who are interested in what you have an interest in. Sports, art, photography, quilting, hiking, checkers, foodies, young professionals, recently retired, octogenarians, nonagenarians, Alcoholics Anonymous, food addicts, pet owners, travel bugs, community service groups, and the list is practically endless. It is almost entirely endless. If you have an interest, I almost guarantee it exists. There is very likely a group out there just down the street who share your interests with you. There are in-person groups and virtual groups. You can share ideas and interests and developments with one another. In the same way, in the exact same way, I'm talking about a way of sharing your faith that is done through peer networks you have existing in your life right now. Look around the room right now and you'll likely see about 25 to 30 people. I'm not sure how many people we will have watching online later today or later in this week. But imagine with me this. If I was the only one going around and sharing my faith as the pastor of this church, we would be in a big pickle for growing this place. My social network here in the Jordan Valley is pretty specific. I'm pretty new here in Utah, and I haven't met a very widespread group of folks yet. I can't very well share my faith with Raydell and Whitney and Jane. I'm hoping that they've already gotten to know Jesus. Now, sure, we can enrich our faith by conversing, absolutely. But we aren't bringing new people to faith by sticking to conversations between one another only. Think about the other 29 or so of you. What social circles do you have? You work in all kinds of different places as teachers and nurses and mechanics and machinists and financial experts and students and sports athletes. Now, think about all the neighborhoods represented here. Now, I hold down Upper West Apartments just down the street here. But in this room alone, we cover the greater Salt Lake and Park City areas at least, if not further. Think about the hobbies that you have and the groups that you are a part of. The power of all of us using our individual friends and family to begin building relationships by which we share the good news of Jesus means that we have this web of connection that spreads further than I could ever do alone in all of the lifetime of my entire professional ministry, even as a 40-hour-a-week full-time pastor. In this room alone, you have the power, as non-church professionals, to spread God's love greater than I do as a professional. It's my job. But you all collectively can do it better. In addition to how many more people you know than I know in this area, you also have trust with those people. People are inherently biased. They automatically have preconceived notions about me as a pastor. Of course I'm going to talk to them about my faith. I'm a pastor. You're a regular person who they know and they enjoy being around. You might say a bad word if you stub your toe on the couch as you walk by. Or if you're like Art, you might say a bad word as the golf shot goes into the water. I mean, I'm not calling you out, Art, but I'm just guessing, maybe. You at least maybe grumble it under your breath. They won't think twice about your faults. Those who appreciate you most won't think twice about your faults. Some of you have kids in school. I've never had children of my own in my life, but others around you have kids too, and they can relate to you and how challenging it has been to navigate parenthood during a pandemic. You might have a spouse who leaves their nail clippings in front of their easy chair and it drives you absolutely bonkers. Do not call anybody out here because I don't want to know. Maybe you know a neighbor. Maybe you know a neighbor who's struggling with the loss of a job and you know what it's like because you've been putting your resume out to anyone who will look at it for many, many months now. Maybe you have a coworker who has a loved one receiving hospice care, and you remember all too well the pain of losing a loved one. Maybe your family lives far away like mine does, and you only see them once a year or so. And so you sort of adopt those around you as your surrogate family. Thank you, Jean Ann, for being my grandmother. I appreciate you so much. You have authentic relationships with people that has been built over time, and that means trust. What you say to them as someone who has built relationships means more to them than what I can say as a paid professional and a stranger to them. Think of it missionally. God has placed you in a mission field that only you are uniquely qualified to reach through your set of skills, through your background, through your abilities, through your testimony and your life. Yes, there are others around you, but only you have your specific relationships and your specific experiences. There are people who you are the most qualified person to reach in sharing the gospel. When we offload the task of sharing our faith onto somebody else, we are forfeiting the opportunity that God has given us to live into our calling as God's people. If we have unique leverage into our unique communities, how exactly do we do it? You already know the ways not to do it. Sharing some passive-aggressive post on social media does not invite others into God's kingdom. So you don't have to do that anymore. Sharing that chain email, very likely the same thing. You can just delete those from your inbox. Looking at somebody when their life falls apart and asking what they possibly could have expected doesn't invite people to be a part of God's redemptive work in the world. So please stop doing that. Yelling at people on the street corner during a community fair doesn't work very well. I went to a community fair when I was in Colorado last week, and there was this gentleman shouting into a bullhorn, and I'm not kidding you, not one person. I did about a 20-minute exercise where I just kind of sat back and watched. Not one person stopped to listen. Now, do I think that that person's faith is any less than mine? Absolutely not. But shouting at somebody through a bullhorn doesn't usually work. It usually just annoys the people around us and they walk by. Walking up to somebody and telling them that they're going to hell does not work, friends. So please stop doing that. So what does work? Pointing people to the hope that is found within your own life. Each one of us has our own testimonies, some of which I've heard from you personally. Each one of us has our own testimonies, and all of us has stories about how God has done something in and through our lives where we could not have done it without God. Thinking back, we realize God was really at work in that place in our lives. Other people are going through similar situations that you're going through and have gone through in the past. Those places of connection and shared experience, whether it be celebrations or hurts or fears, become bridges of hope for those around you. When they say, "I'm so worried about fill in the blank," you can say, "Me too, and here's how my faith has led me to walk through that experience to this point in my life." Friends, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to fix their problem for them. You don't have to take on their hurt. You just have to invite them into the hope and the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. Pointing people not to how you have it all together because of Jesus, but how Jesus takes your very brokenness and transforms it into something incredible in the how God transforms it into something incredible for God's work and God's kingdom. When I'm kicked down and hurt, the last thing, the very last thing that I need is to hear from the Cleaver family who has it all together in one 30-minute episode. I need people who are willing to walk with me and struggle with me in the midst of my own hurts and doubts and struggles. I want someone who can give me a real life situation that has worked for them because of their faith. Think about it. We do this all the time with other stuff. How many of you enjoy looking under the hood of old cars? I have to be honest and say that I don't know a thing about cars. If my car needs help, I call AAA without a second thought. Many of you, though, know a lot about cars. And you can fix a problem like MacGyver with a stick of gum and a shoelace. I can probably come to you with some of my car troubles. If I need a pair of pants hemmed, I know that I can bring them to my friend Donna or any one of the other quilting ladies, and they can fix them in 10 minutes or less. Some of you have helped me move some of my things into my apartment not very long ago, and I am forever grateful for the help, because I can't move that stuff on my own very easily. I'd still be moving stuff into my apartment 2.5 months later. You might be able to recommend a great teacher for someone else's child because you have experience with that teacher. I'm gonna trust and have more confidence in yourself and your understanding than I am in my own guesses. This restaurant has the best cakes. That surgeon helped me with my injury. We do it all the time with other things. So, beloved church, let's do it with our faith. Don't complicate it, friends. Just point to the hope that you've found in Jesus and remember these three words. You be you. Amen.